Parks Recreation Forestry Committee meeting Tuesday, April 26th, 2016. It is 6:32 p.m.
I'll call the meeting to order and we'll do a roll call. Lee Bushy here. David Doran.
Here.
Robert Ferguson.
Here.
Martha Bonney.
Here.
Angel Kowalczyk Adrians.
Excused.
Excused. Kelsey Prescott.
Here.
Rob Atwood.
Here.
Right. Do I have a motion either to adopt the agenda or for any modifications?
Motion to adopt as is.
Motion by Ralph Atwood. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Kelsey Prescott. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approved. March 22nd minutes. You all should have them. Are there any changes, revisions, or do I have a motion to adopt?
Motion to adopt minutes as is.
Motion to adopt by Rob Atwood. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Bob Ferguson. All in favor, say aye.
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 Accepted. Okay, public appearances. We have a number of people in the audience.
Please come on up.
Can you introduce yourself?
My name is Kendrick Y.
And your address, Kit?
1315 South Barrett Street. Okay. I'm here tonight to represent the Alloway families as well as non-residential families that enjoy visiting our community. Our goal is to have an ordinance banning smoking, chewing tobacco, and e-cigarettes in all Alloway public parks and trails. This exact ordinance is already in effect in Bellevue. A person might not think that it's common sense to not smoke around a child, let alone someone else's. This is not the case for a few families in the area. We live a few blocks from the Optimus Park and have enjoyed bringing our three children there for the last 6 years. Until last summer, that is. There are three families, maybe more, that frequent the park in the later evening hours. They bring chairs and camp out at the bench that is located next to the brand new addition. Do you know what I mean for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
There are at least three of them that smoke, so it seems someone always has a cigarette lit. I brought a picture. I think you had mentioned to me if I could get a picture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then these are on the ground. Families should be able to enjoy this park and any other park without having to be subjected to secondhand smoke. Another reason for concern are for the handicapped children and adults that the park was designed for. Breathing and upper respiratory issues can go hand in hand with physically and mentally disabled people. This park is relied on and greatly enjoyed by the entire Green Bay disabled community. Please, we strongly urge you to get this ordinance passed and as soon as possible. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Does questions or...
That's a problem in Webster Park, too, because of the cigarette butts all over. Mm-hmm. The filters all over the place. And, they come there from the... over here with,
medical?
Bishop's Court.
Sure,
medical.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the policy that Bellevue has?
I am not currently, but that's...
I do have it screenshotted on my phone if you would like to see it.
I am good friends with the parks director over there, and it's as easy as a phone call for me to get that info, so it's not a problem at all.
It appears to me that it looks like it may have been passed last October or added.
Okay.
But I do want to add with the e-cigarettes that I have heard that it may... You know, there aren't enough studies, I guess, to know if it's harmful. We do have a family member that vapes, and he does it away from our children because the clouds can be huge. It's very smelly. Like, we don't mind the smell of his, but, I mean, he smells like it. I'm sure, you know, it'll go around.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as bad as cigarettes, but if there's a chance it could be harmful, then maybe that's why Bellevue chose to add it to it.
Are you familiar with any of the other communities around here that have addressed this issue?
I don't think Howard has anything. Green Bay, what it says on their website is that there's no smoking within so many feet of a building or structure, and I called them, and they could not tell me what a structure was. The guy told me he was going to call me back, which he never did, to find out from insurance what a structure is. But, I mean, to me, I think it's just common sense that maybe this should be an ordinance everywhere. Like, the parks are created for children. Mm-hmm. If you can't smoke in a bar next to another adult, why should you smoke in a park next to a child? And I guess my biggest problem is these, like you can see in here at this bench. Last summer with her, she was, you know, just turned one. I had to avoid this whole area because...
Kids pick up things.
But you could smell it. It just, it was there. And she was smoking, he was smoking, and there's another woman that usually is with them that smokes. And this same day, which was last week, a few days ago, we were at the bottom of the rolly slide, the one with the the spinny slide, and we could smell the cigarette all the way over there. I mean, the wind was just right. But that's why I feel like even a few, like 50 feet just isn't enough. It just should be not in the parks whatsoever.
How would you enforce something like that?
If we had it as an ordinance, a village ordinance, then it could be enforced by police or a code enforcement officer, yeah.
Would there be signs put up?
Yeah. That would have to be the first step. You know, because it would be a lot of education at the beginning. That'd be a definite. So,
have you ever asked them to refrain? Not that I would expect you to. I'm wondering what their response would have been.
I've wanted to, but to be honest, the other woman that's usually there with them seems a little intimidating to me. So I usually get on my phone and I'm like, who wants to come to the park and help me?
Yeah, and that's an intimidating thing to think about doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you know it's probably, you know, 50-50, you're going to get a response
that's not going to be pleasant. Yeah, and I don't want to stop going to the park. We can walk there and we really love the park. He was with me and he was very close to saying something, but they actually were packing up and leaving. And he decided not to say something because he wanted it to be where they were still there to know, are they going to actually not do it any longer? Or are they, you know, because if they walk away, then you don't know, would they have complied? And but I don't know what they would say, but it seemed like last summer, toward the end of the summer, every time I was there, they were there, and they literally stay for hours.
Okay.
So.
Social law. What's our process in the village if we're going to adopt a new ordinance or policy like this?
First thing we would do is, probably more than likely at our next committee meeting, we would bring that a draft copy or a copy of a proposed ordinance back to the committee, discuss it, take some action on it, refer it to the village board, and then it would need to go through the process of being adopted as an ordinance by the village board. Time-wise, I am not positive on how long that whole process would take. You know, it may take a month, may take a couple of months. And that if everything went through, you know, without having to be referred back or anything like that. So.
I think if it were added to the agenda as an action item, you know, to with the draft code, you know, being brought up. And if Bellevue's got one, if they've got it posted in their park, that means they've got it in their code book. Mm-hmm. You could easily get a copy of it.
Sure.
We could copy it. It would go in front of the board. It would be an action item. It would be discussion and could be voted on as early as the end of May. We couldn't get it on the agenda for this Thursday. It's too quick. That's actually a code as well, on how quick you can add things to an agenda. So it'd be the end of May.
Okay.
If done right, could be expedited by the end of next month.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, it would take time for the signs, correct?
Not necessarily, no. I can get signs turned around in less than a week.
Oh, okay.
We can go to the problem areas first.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But that learning curve is going to take some time, I think. As far, you know, yes, we can have an ordinance. Yes, we can have signs up. But to go out and strictly enforce them day one is not a very politically way to go about, you know, trying to enforce something like this. You know, my guess is it would be a lot of, okay, now we have an ordinance, you know, please refrain and things like that. And
I would feel more comfortable saying something if there was a sign.
Sure. And exactly. Mm-hmm. For yourself, then you could just refer to, you know, a sign or something like that. But yes, we can definitely go forward with this.
Okay.
And thank you very much for coming to the committee.
I wish I would have done it last year.
Sure. Better late than never.
True.
And but we are seeing it more and more throughout the state and other states as well of ordinances like this.
Okay.
It'd be nice to know, you know, again, I don't want you to have to do a lot of work, but maybe, I don't know if anybody on the committee wants to do it, or even I would, but are there policies in other towns and villages, the city of Green Bay, Dupere,
Brown County?
What's that?
Brown County.
Yeah. That'd be nice to know, just it would give some support to what village.
At the very least, there's a litter issue. You know,
that's the truth.
I don't care if it's a cigarette butt or a candy wrapper. Yeah. It's littering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that in itself is a violation of any ordinance that can't be done.
I can look that up myself, too, if you want. I can...
That's not a difficult thing for me to reach out and to find that information. A lot of it's on websites nowadays, or you know, just communications with peers. It's not very difficult for me to get that info.
Okay.
That'd
be great.
Thank
you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. That's why we're here.
Do you guys need us to stay for anything else? Okay, just worried.
No.
Thank you.
Okay, those guys are going to be here for that. So
then we'll move on. With no other public appearances, we'll move on to number 5, information. Parks for All fundraiser for Optimus Park.
This is a fundraiser that's actually taking place this Saturday at Optimus Park. Hopefully the weather will remain good and nice and sunny and that. It's a fundraiser that a group of UWGB students has undertaken as part of one of their classes. They're looking to raise funds to resurface a portion of the playground with rubber surfacing that currently is wood chips. Through this fundraiser, they are both the Village of Alloway as well as the Miracle League are benefactors. They're working through the Miracle League to raise the funds and then make them available for us to be able to do this. So the fundraiser is, like I said, this Saturday the 30th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Down at the park. So, you know, tell all your friends and neighbors and hopefully.
What are they doing to actually raise funds?
They are doing several things. They are taking donations. They are having concessions, drawings, yard games, things like that throughout the park. So, it's a great thing. Once again, unbelievable the giving that this community does, you know, for various different causes. But so. All righty.
Mm-hmm. Any questions on that one? Tree City USA recognition.
Just wanted to let the board know, committee. I let the village board know last week that this is the 20th year that the Village of Alloway has received the Tree City USA recognition, which is a pretty big milestone.
hopefully we will continue that on in another 20 years. So, with that, we are holding our Arbor Day presentation and ceremony on Thursday at 10 a.m. at Langlade Park with Langlade School first graders. Langlade School, they'll be helping us plant three trees in the park. So if anybody's available, feel free to stop out. But that's one of the things that we need to do annually, is to have a ceremony presentation mm-hmm. to make us eligible for the Tree City USA. So.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Moving on, number six, discussion and action approval of the Dire Straits Disc Golf Course expansion.
I'd like to introduce Preston Dyer and Dale Hewens. Is it Hewens?
Hewens.
I'm very sorry. Close. Thank you. They are the original force that started the first or the current disc golf course down at Wheezy Park, Dire Straits Disc Golf. Currently, it's a 9-hole course. And they had approached me and asked about expanding that to make it an 18-hole course. And I asked them to come in, do a presentation to the board, kind of give you a little bit of background, give you some information on costs and how they're looking to raise those funds so that it is no cost to the village, and kind of some layout and design for the disc golf course. And if the committee has any questions, you know, free to ask the two gentlemen that know more about disc golf than I'll ever know. So, Preston, Dale,
welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Come on up. Here's okay. Of that. So, let me get this up and running. There we go. If you need a laser pointer at all, here we go. Don't shoot me in the eye.
Okay.
Up here on the screen is a mock-up of what the what they're looking at doing down at the park for the expansion. This is Wheezy Park. Here's the parking
the
lot.
Entrance. Yep. This is all soccer field.
Yeah. Correct. Just for reference purposes, yep. So everyone knows where we're at. So,
So yeah, I guess a few years back, I just kind of had the idea. I'm a pretty avid disc golfer, so I had the idea of getting a course to the De Pere area ultimately. And when I approached the city of De Pere originally, they gave me a couple little plots of land. Not really fitting for a disc golf course. So then came to the village of Alloway, found this little plot of land that they were willing to donate, and basically started our fundraising from there. You know, I basically did it via word of mouth. You know, just let people know on Facebook and in passing, in business, things like that. Just let them know that we're building a disc golf course. If you're interested in and donating, we accepted, I think, three whole sponsors all together, and we ultimately ended up raising right around $2,300, and it was right around a 12-month period it took us to get that done. So at that point, we were close to our target, but we weren't quite there, and actually Brad had said that he would be willing to kick in. I'm not exactly sure what the remaining portion was, but I think it was roughly around $900 to $1,000 for the remaining portion of the existing course there. So with that being said, you know, we kind of wanted to, you know, expand the course to a full 18. You know, most disc golf courses these days are 18 baskets. As you guys probably know, most golf courses are also 18 holes. So we just kind of wanted to give it a full layout, and you know, we approached the park again, kind of with that idea if there was land available first off, and
right.
We kind of came up with this little layout, and I don't know if we want to kind of show them where the existing course is here.
So Now, mind you, this was all woods when we started. We were out in the middle of winter. So here you come up, there's a feeder trail, and hole one goes back into the woods here. They're kind of short, they're kind of tight, but it just kind of fits exactly what the park does around the trees. Two is here, and three is a little short guy here. So then you come out of this, and you take the East River Trail up, and there's four, comes in here, five up. Now, we're going to change the numbers so it flows in a nice order. This used to be six, but this is what we are proposing. You come out of the woods here, six goes out. And there's a bushel of trees in that area. Cross a little walkway here. We wanted to stay very far away from the houses. You'll no complaints from people that live in the area, nothing like that. Same thing with the water. This does not go over the water, and we want to tail the basket over a little bit away. So that'd be six, seven, eight would come here, and then you'd go back to two original holes. This would become nine, used to be six. And there's two little holes that are very hard to see in there because it's very thick. You're in the middle of the woods. Okay, so you take the trail back, and this used to be nine. You can kind of see from there's grass cut there. It's long prairie grass. There's a fairway cut. That's one of the longest holes on the course. And we didn't know we could even use all of this back here. To be honest, we had never even walked back that far. But it's beautiful. It's all going to be kind of like this hole here. You'll have your tee box and a grass fairway cut right into the tall prairie grass. 13, 14, 15. This is an arboretum.
Arboretum,
yes. Down there. If you saw on the plan, we'd like to add some trees. We didn't do that the first go around. We'd like to plant some more trees. This would be a great area. Hole 16 goes back to the woods, and then you come back up. We were going to put the basket here, but this is a gazebo. And Chris and us, we decided that'd be best to keep it away from public. And 18 comes back toward the parking lot, which was, you were kind of out here when you finished. It would have a very nice flow coming back across this way, or even back to hole one if you'd like to play again. As far as the digging and, you know, it was very tough to dig the boxes the first time. We were in the middle of the woods. There's a lot of roots. We did it all by hand with shovels and volunteers.
Yeah, we had about eight volunteers out there helping us dig and do the work. So, I mean, it's not, obviously, it's not a lot of cost for the city in regards to the installation.
Right.
The baskets, me and one other gentleman installed them. So it's just a matter of digging holes, pouring concrete, and setting the baskets in place.
And we'd be doing all that again.
Yeah, we're certainly willing to do all that. Dale had noted here as well that, you know, if we get approval to start raising money again for this expanded nine, he wanted to set up like a GoFundMe account or a Kickstarter account.
Yep.
Just another way, another avenue for us to collect money. You know, if people want to swipe $5 on their credit card or whatever, we're willing to take any donations. We don't need a full $500 donation for every hole. So,
I'd even like to have people sponsor or donate trees. You know, you mentioned the taller 8-foot trees are $50 to $75.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to include just right in our costs. We'd like to purchase 50 trees and plant them and donate them. People could donate or sponsor other trees, things like that. We would like to try and get three hole sponsorships. I have one verbal commitment, but we haven't really pushed it because
sure.
We wanted to come and get this approved. Pretty sure I have another one. We'd probably have about $1,000 ballpark.
Okay.
Out of the gate.
Right off the gate, yeah.
Is there any questions in regards to like our design or what we did before?
Well, 16 and 17 have quite a bit of new trees already, don't they? I mean, that's planted there.
Newer, yes.
Yes.
I would say, you know, they're you know less than 15 years old.
Yeah,
you know, in
there's
that
quite
area.
A few of them. Is that gonna be?
No, actually,
in regards to kind of how it was laid out down there. There's a row of trees going right down the middle where it kind of breaks it up into two kind of fairways. Yep. We're not gonna be cutting down any trees or taking anything out there. you know, the only thing that, you know, that I wanted to do was kind of get the basket into that wood line that kind of pushes in towards the river. But that's just from a golfer standpoint to make the basket a little bit more challenging. But, you know, those trees that are out in the open there, yeah, I don't see them interfering or hurting.
They almost kind of formed the whole.
I was going to say, it actually laid out almost like two fairways.
Right,
yes.
Right,
so. Already without having
You can't see it from the picture, but there's about five trees that go right in between the two holes there.
What are average, are there any problems in terms of disc golf? It seems like it's a pretty low impact activity, but are there any issues that come up in existing courses or on this course in terms of wear?
I think for the most part, I have pretty regular contact with the Green Bay Area Disc Golf Club, and I think their biggest issue is like trash on the golf course. People leaving water bottles behind and things like that. When we designed that original nine, we tried to make sure we got trash cans on every basket out there, just so we could keep it collected and then bring it out to the where the big bins are. I think for the most part, that's the number one issue. You know, with having the East River Trail there as well, I could foresee some issues with discs and other users of the trail. You know, possibly people throwing discs and hitting someone, possibly. You know, disc golfers and golfers in general, they have a pretty good sense of, you know, letting others pass before they throw,
give
them the right of way. You know, they kind of know where their disc is gonna go when they throw it. And it's pretty rare that it's so errant that someone so happens to be there. So I would think that would be the only issue with the existing trail out here, other than the.
And we had even talked with Chris about even putting a sign up that just clearly states anyone using the trail in any fashion has the right of way.
Right, you must yield.
Disc golfers, for the most part, honor that.
So.
And then the prairie grass area, is that you, is that a trail on there? I haven't been out there. But is that an existing trail?
The trail is here, and it goes along
That's
here.
The blacktop.
That's the East River.
Right, right.
And then cut into the, is there something already cut into the grass?
It actually starts on
like hole
9.
Oh, up here?
Mowed.
Yeah, so like
that's
where?
That's mowed all the way down to the basket.
Oh, this?
Yeah.
Yep.
The grass,
so that's
mowed that's to the just basket, grass.
And then there's a little exit trail mowed out right there.
I see.
That was for people to get back to the trail.
Right.
You're
going
to see that now from here to here.
Yeah.
So we'll have a little walking path so it's very clear on how to get to the next hole. So there'll be grass cut in between this basket and the tee box.
So the
but this is
how high is the grass?
It's about waist high.
Yeah, I'd say it comes
about waist high.
About here somewhere. That is part of the challenge of playing out there.
And it'll mow. Yeah, you could probably lose a disc easily. And you'll mow 13 and 14 and 18 as well.
Yes,
so basically there'll be fairways and kind of landing areas is kind of how we have it set up. So around the basket, you kind of cut about a 50-foot circle just so when your disc lands, you can find it there. And then, like you said, a fairway just leading you down there. So
is there anything that uses that in terms of, you know, creatures that
wildlife?
Would be disturbed at all?
Oh, deer come out there.
See a little bit of deer trail,
deer out there,
especially back behind here.
I think maybe asking is there any wildlife by doing this that we would be displacing or harming? And I don't see that.
Okay.
No.
I don't know.
Matter of fact, with the more mowed areas, would probably be even better habitat for them. You know, more food, things like that.
They come over. The deer come over from one behind one. Quite a few deer, and they cut across right over that field. Said like 17, and they go back in that corner. I assume they see it all.
About the turkeys? There are a lot of them over there.
I haven't seen any turkeys.
I haven't seen one out there.
I've seen a lot of
them on the other side of the river. Who maintains the trails? Like who cuts down the grass? The village or
we do, and it's pretty infrequent. Typically, on average, it's maybe about every 3 weeks. You know,
once a month.
Yep.
It's not something that we have to do very frequently. And time-wise, it doesn't, because we're not mowing large expanses. It's like one swath with our mowers. You know, to do those areas.
Is that whole area where number one is not hole one, but where the actual number is?
Yep.
Is that all mowed?
It
anyway,
is.
That's
it
a soccer field.
Yes.
So number 12, that is pretty wide there. number 12 sure. right now that you have. Mm-hmm. So that's probably about, 8 feet wide, that grass cut?
For lawnmower swipes?
Yeah,
I would say roughly,
Eight feet?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So number 16 and 17, are you about? You're going to keep them all about the same?
I think that's a good start, a good base. There's definitely room to kind of just mow different patterns out there too.
Yeah.
Like with a golf course, you can kind of get creative with how your setups are. Like you could just have the tee box mowed out and just the basket mowed out and just have a little narrow walking trail for people. You know, you don't even mow it. So it all. We're kind of open. We just need to get the baskets in and the tee boxes in, and however you guys want to mow it down. I mean, that's...
And the nice thing about that type of a location, if mowing it doesn't work, mm-hmm. you let it grow.
Just let it grow right back.
Or if not mowing it doesn't work, then you go and mow it. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's relatively easy. It's not like you're going in with a bulldozer.
Right,
you know,
right.
Have to restructure and things like that. So.
And that's one plus to this round. The first go around, they did have to bring a timber axe through, just to get through
kind
some of that heavy
some
brush.
Trees back,
without knocking down trees, but there was some heavy, thick brush, and this is basically relatively long grass. Mm-hmm. And even holes 6, 7, and 8 up by the pond, that's all kind of the same kind of thing. So all nine holes will be cutting grass.
Relatively.
Holes 7 and 8, just for the committee's reference, holes 7 and 8 are by the detention pond. I did talk to our public works director about that, and he had no real concerns, only that we make sure we're far enough back away from the pond, which I'll work with them on that, so that it allows the proper vegetation to grow to prevent geese, and then the potential for future expansion of that pond down the road could be 5, could be 10 years, which wouldn't be that big of a deal either because of the fact that the baskets and the tees are relatively easy to move if need be at those times. So.
When we were talking about the habitat, like right across from the river, in the like bottom, far bottom right corner, that's the Isaac Walton Preserve.
Across there. Below that East River?
Yeah. Okay.
Down
right
here?
There.
Yeah.
So
oh, okay.
It's a big bird sanctuary, like an osprey nest platform over there. And
I didn't even know that.
Tons of birds. And so that's, there are lots of birds over there. And then the only other thing I was going to say is I bike and use this trail all the time, probably 3 or 4 or 5 days a week, and I've never had any issues with the disc golfer.
Okay. I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, very
good to hear.
Thanks for saying
quick
that.
Quick to yield, and
great.
All times of the year. So.
Kind of interesting to watch you guys. There's some pretty good guys. They really are skilled, and it's fun watching, because, like I said, some of the guys can really toss it. It's maybe one of you two guys.
Well, not me per se, but I know exactly
it's fun to watch him throw a disc.
Number 12, I've seen guys that can wing that thing.
There's some guys around this area that I think are very good players, and they can probably compete on the bigger tournaments. So there's...
And, these holes are longer than the first nine. If you look at the comparison, this kind of gets the average length per hole back to about where it should be. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I could see this being the best course in Green Bay when it's done. There's a lot of really nice courses in the area, if you include Manitowoc and Sheboygan, Appleton. But I really see this as probably a league course eventually. They have Disc Golf League in Green Bay. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. They're pretty serious. Some of those guys you saw it on hole 12 are also, I'd like to invite them to come walk the course, the president of the disc, before we really finalize that design, but get their approval.
These usually play Wednesdays, but they also have like a Tuesday and a Thursday league too. So
it's evenings?
Yeah, yes. Wednesday evenings usually about 6 o'clock, and they kind of travel all over to like Pinecrest and Baird's and Perkins and all kind of the local courses is usually what they have set up. So.
Is there any problem? Oh, there's always problem there with parking, especially when there's soccer games.
Sure,
going on.
Sure, yep.
So I don't know where... I'm not sure there's anything you can do about that, but it's an issue with that.
Yeah, park. Not immediately, but if you recall that in our plan, that was within our plan to expand the parking down at that facility at some point.
So
in
if
the
you
future.
Have a couple of soccer games going on at a night and you're bringing in a league.
I see.
Right.
That is actually one thing that we as staff discussed just this past week was disc golf leagues because of trying to find other recreational activities to provide the community. One thing that all the communities around are finding out, softball, for instance, is dying. Numbers are going down. So we're looking at other opportunities to provide league type of recreational opportunities. So, yeah, that's actually one thing that we were just discussing.
That's great.
The last thing I wanted to mention, difference between 9 and 18. 18, you typically get a lot more people that want to play 18.
More draw.
And which could be an economic impact, to our community by having something like that. We'll get more people that will want to come, from all over, from as far as Manitowoc and other areas, just to play it, spend some money. So,
any other questions or discussion?
I have one other question. How often would you say that the current course is used?
It's hard to say, numbers-wise. I would say comfortably, I would say at least 20, 25 people play it a day, if not, 100 on the weekends. So, and that's a rough estimate. I'm just kind of from when I go out there and the number of people that I see out on the course and whatever. So
we were out pretty early. The course was barely playable. Yeah. We were out walking the course together. I believe we saw a group of disc golfers in early March or February.
Yeah, so
it was still snow on the ground. Yeah. So
speaking of the winter time, do you see much play during the middle of winter? If at all,
it's the guys that are really serious
sometimes.
About it. Yeah, I mean, I like to play disc golf, but I'm a fair weather golfer. I'm only gonna do it when it's nice out. So, you get, like I said, I think it's just the avid guys that really like to play. So,
that'd be pretty cool. Snowshoe disc golf.
Yeah, I mean, if you get a nice mild day and you're looking for something to do in the middle of winter, the baskets are up, take a walk in the park, so.
I played a tournament in Milwaukee, not this February, but the one before. It had snowed a foot the weekend before. We went and did it anyways. You had to attach little ribbons to the bottom of your disc, so when it flew into the snow, you'd have a little ribbon blowing. Otherwise, they had spotters out on the course, but there had to be 150 people in the tournament. I couldn't believe. So, depends on the person, but
isn't that like
some people play?
Tournament too?
It's called the Big Freeze.
Yeah, so there's avid people.
I couldn't believe it.
It
was unbelievable.
So.
Do you need any action from us, Chris, on this?
Yes, I do. We would like some direction, some action on whether or not to proceed. That way, if given the go ahead, then the gentlemen can start their fundraising opportunities and go forward with that.
I see maybe one issue that the trail goers might have is disturbing that prairie grass. And I guess a question, and not against you guys, okay,
sure.
But we're going to be talking about this dog park, okay? So if we're looking at doing... I can't even see my glasses aren't on, but that area, about the prayer grass, number 18,
okay.
That whole area,
sure.
Okay? So we're talking about no place for the dog owners to bring their dog,
sure.
So we're gonna mow prairie grass for disc golf.
Okay.
What about the dog owners? They need a place to bring their dogs to play.
Sure.
Depending on what happens with this Bellevue.
Sure.
That's just a question. Like I said, I like watching that stuff,
sure.
So
fair
it doesn't
question.
Matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something we can further talk about.
Exactly, excellent idea. So.
Other questions, concerns, or would anyone like to entertain a motion of how to proceed on this?
I personally think it should be discussed a little further, maybe in another meeting. Okay.
any issues that you want explored further?
Well,
in between.
Well, just what I just mentioned, you know, about that, and you know, what about again about the trail goers that use the trail a lot, other than you know yourself, you said that you use it a lot, but what are the residents gonna, how do they feel about that disturbing that area?
How do we assess that?
I don't know. Good question.
I think, from a discussion standpoint, I think very valid what you're saying, you know, in terms of, and that's what we need to do. We need to have that dialogue with all of us, you know, mm-hmm. to move things forward. I think taking a look at what's currently out there and seeing what type of disruption, you know, might have been made would be a factor to look at for what you could anticipate for the next nine holes. I've been out in that area. I haven't seen any real disruption. I think any opportunity that you have to make the parks more entertaining to more people with more uses is always a great thing, including dogs. So I think because the land in the parks are still the property of the Village of Alloway, that if there's abuse, if it's not corrected, litter, trespassing, damage to prairie grass excessively, and things like that, mm-hmm. obviously action would have to be taken. And that would always remain our right to do, you know. And I don't think you guys would argue that back.
No, not
you want it. You want it bad. You're going to make sure it's maintained and maintained properly.
Absolutely.
So,
what I hear you saying, Dave, is that it, oh, let me ask the question: is the prairie grass area currently used for anything else? You know, how often is it used for people? Can they run their dogs? Our ordinance doesn't really allow that, yeah. correct?
No.
See, I'm looking at. This is a fairly large area right here.
Sure.
This is too. It's not bad, but I mean, this is a pretty big area right here. So I'm just talking about, you know, there's prairie grass all the way up around to where that bucket is,
mm-hmm.
and not so much prairie grass over here, if I'm correct, Chris. Right? It's mostly trees that in low grass. There's some prairie grass, but it's not. Not like the middle of
right.
summer where it's fairly tall up in here.
Right.
Me personally, I don't have a problem with the prairie grass. I mean,
right.
Kind of, but I'm just saying that's just me.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I would echo that sentiment you're talking about a little bit and say that there is a part of parks that is open space and not necessarily usable open space, but space that is. Just is, and that you can ride your bike past it and feel like you're out in a natural setting rather than being in the pathway of, you know, a soccer match or a ball field or, you know, a disc golf area. Now, I feel like disc golf, again, is pretty low impact, and you're not going to have the mass of people that you'd have in the bleachers at a ball field. It's not as disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have a little bit of concern about that much change to the prairie grass and how that might change the people's perception if they're using that okay. area of it being a natural area,
right.
which it's a park. It's not necessarily meant to be a conservation district or anything like that. But
right.
is that somehow tied to folks' perception of the park? Is that to some degree kind
mm-hmm.
of what?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other thoughts, discussion? The way you have the layout, it kind of uses all of the available open space. Are there alternatives that would protect some of it from, our word isn't even protect, but would space it so that you leave larger areas that aren't part of the golf course.
Is there a best use for integrating a disc golf course to make it feel like it's part of the landscape?
And I understand exactly what you guys are saying. I, you know, kind of how where the parking lot is ultimately, like, we just kind of wanted to get the flow where you leave and you kind of come back. And ultimately, like, with the grass and the amount of space that we have, I do think, like, we probably utilize the space about as well as we could. Now, I do think we probably could shorten up maybe a couple of holes and maybe squeeze them in. You know, maybe that little spot on 18, we could kind of leave that space free.
Yeah,
there are other options, and obviously it's not set in stone right now. But I feel like how we have the design kind of set up with the amount of land that we have, with the average length of disc golf holes, I kind of feel like the flow is pretty much where it needs to be.
I wonder about 14. That's the one that just seems to be sitting in the middle. 12 too, obviously, but it's already there. But 14 is just kind of in the middle of everything.
12, 13.
And
14's right here.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
If it were adjusted somewhat out, you know, just a little bit closer to 13, like, and I can't see what is that number going.
This is 15.
15.
Mm-hmm.
Dog-legged or something, you know, just to kind of leave that front of the prairie grass pretty pristine.
Like leave this open, maybe move this tee box back to here and have it come
more along the
in
edges.
This area to leave all of this.
Yeah,
more
and really,
open.
I was almost. I don't.
That's
I
very
don't
possible.
Play disc golf,
yeah.
So
no problem.
I have no idea.
Sure.
You know, in golf, I played golf.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then you got it.
Real golf. dog-legging it, you know, so that it's a, I don't know,
oh,
if that's something
so
that people do. So you really get
so you push some, it away.
Something. So if you're using the trail over here, you just see, you know, Fields of Dreams.
Right, right.
Sure.
Could you push 13 into the woods? Is there enough woods there?
There is not.
Okay.
This is right on the water, and this
falls
off a ledge there.
I give you guys a lot of
credit
for what you did with the original 9 and squeezing them into the woods.
Yeah.
We don't want to see guys swimming for
wow.
Nope, nope.
Not in that river, yeah.
And they will at the cost of some of those discs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we'll go after them.
I think we put one in there before.
Beavers and glow discs and all sorts of finding.
Yeah, I'm with you on exposing more of that grass. Yeah, I mean.
And our answer is yes. We can definitely tweak it.
It's an easy compromise.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Very
right.
much so.
So could we ask for a redesign? I mean, I don't know what your timetable is, and I guess that's not really our problem, but would you guys feel better with a relook at this that kind of protects or buffers the natural area?
I think I would feel more comfortable with something that was just slightly redesigned and possibly some photos of the horizon. I'm not sure if
just
that
kind
makes
of
sense. Just
the
to
lay
see,
of the land, kind of where your trail is,
and
right
give
there.
A little bit of an idea
sure.
of how far those things are going to stick out or what it might look like.
Sure,
mode.
Sure. I mean, we already got a basket out there already, so you'll have a real good kind of understanding as to what it'll look like. So if you haven't seen it already,
we won't have the grass at full.
Right.
I think we might even have a couple of photos from last year. So.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. They're on our face. We have a Facebook page for the course. Every hole is photographed. We actually took some preliminaries of all these looking from the box to where it would be, but right now it just looks like a field, and I know what it is, but it might not do you any good.
Right.
That would be a really good picture to see if you haven't seen that looking
you know,
out from the well.
Brad has some aerial photos, like field right, trips. When he did the deer. He must have some aerial photos. Remember, was that Brad that did that 2 years ago? Went up in the air and
counted the deer.
Counted the deer.
Don't know if it does or not.
Sure,
but that's. I've got ortho photos from 2014 on my computer that that would be better than his deer photos. So, or newer, I should say.
Yeah. That'd be good to look at.
But yeah, that would. I'm getting some actual photographs of the site.
Sure.
No, we can. Just put them up here.
Certainly within our realm to go out there, kind of walk around, kind of see what's going to look best too for in regards to redesign and really, like you guys saying, keep that as much of that area kind of as natural as possible.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of your Facebook site?
Dire Straits Disc Golf Course. D-I-E-R.
Not after the group, huh?
No. Sorry. But Google has it wrong. If you look, they have it. Just like the band.
Wanted to break out into a song.
Yeah. So, where does that leave us?
You can table it, bring it back to the next meeting with more information.
That's the desire of the committee.
Yeah, I'd like table to go out there. Actually, I'm, you know, been looking over.
That most
yeah.
comfortable.
Yeah.
So we're okay with the idea so far that we need a closer
sure.
look and a possible redesign.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. If people have thoughts of how we, and again, do we want to, and if we want to, how we would gauge resident interest or impact, we can discuss that next time, too.
Yeah. I think that would be important to get that word out. Mm-hmm.
So do we need a motion to table? Mm-hmm. Can I have a motion to table for a redesign and further discussion?
With no motion at all, it just gets tabled.
Okay, it just gets tabled.
It's tabled from that side.
Or that option.
It just makes it cleaner. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
No,
thank you.
Very
interesting. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for listening.
We appreciate yours and your work and fundraising and everything you've done to get it to the point it is so far.
Cool. Thank you. The labor of love.
Yes, it must be.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate you bringing that in. And I'll be in touch.
We'll be in touch.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Moving on. Dog park, pets, and parks.
All right. Last meeting, we started discussions on dog park opportunities for the community and as well as looking at our ordinances, our rules for what we currently have in the village for pets in our parks. I handed out the information with the ordinances in the surrounding communities committee members and ask that you read them and come back with questions, ideas, things that we may want to further discuss, as well as a discussion on the potential partnership with the dog park in Bellevue. And I always get this wrong. So the Laura and Peter Mazikowski Family Dog Park. In Bellevue. We'll start with that. I do have some updated information with regards to the dog park in Bellevue. I spoke with Paul via email. Gentleman that was here at the last meeting gave us information, the funding opportunities and the various what they were looking for time frame and whatnot for the dog park. They had, in the meantime, have had another dog park committee meeting, and one of the things that came from that, he approached me via email and asked, as an idea, would the village of Alloway be willing to help out from the standpoint of snow plowing and mowing the grass, because the Village of Bellevue contracts out that work, and they don't have staff that does it. So one of their ideas was, would we be willing to potentially, partner in that aspect? With that being said, I put some quick numbers together. For snow plowing on an average season, it would probably cost us between $800,000 in labor and equipment. For mowing, if we were to mow every week, would cost us about $5,300. If it was every other week, it'd be about $2,700, $2,600. So there would be some costs associated with
with that, obviously. Would we be able to do it? Could we handle that work? Sure. You know, it wouldn't, set us back.
How many acres?
That is approximate. What I have figured of, like, mobile grass would be about 3 acres.
$2,600 bucks to mow 3 acres of land?
With the new mower?
With what? God, I'll do it.
Okay.
You got that new mower.
For free.
That's
no.
That's all season.
Double one, yeah.
But that's for the full season.
Yeah.
But
that includes
staff time, labor, you know, 3 hours per time.
I thought you meant like every week. It's like 26.
Oh, no. That's for the whole season. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the misunderstanding. No, that's that'd be for the whole season.
What is Bellevue giving?
Well, that's my next point.
Land.
They gave the land. And that's, from my understanding, I actually sat down with the parks director last week and we discussed this. And Bellevue's perspective is they gave the land. The dog park committee has to raise every other dime. And at this point, they are short. I believe it was $40,000+
out of 100.
Said they needed to raise $15,000 before they could start working.
And that was correct. And in speaking with the parks director, she said that did not seem correct to her, that number. Because just previously at their meeting with that committee, they had stated a different number. So she didn't know where that information came from, you know, if it was correctly put into the newspaper. But
with that slide, can you...
While you're doing that, when they talk about a partnership with the Village of Alloway and we do the plowing and the mowing, what do we get back in return? What's their side of the partnership?
What would the dog park?
How would Alloway benefit from doing that for Bellevue?
And that would be something we would need to discuss.
I mean, who's to know who's going to use it? You know what I mean?
Right. Would that... would it obviously be used by residents of Alloway? Oh, yeah.
Sure.
It's going to be a regional
dog
park. It's going to be an East Side Green Bay dog park is what it's going to be.
Are Bellevue residents getting any benefit because it's in Bellevue? Do we even know that?
Easier access.
Yeah.
It's really close to Alloway, though, right. Obviously, especially with a bridge.
This is not a Bellevue park. This is a private park that Bellevue donated the land.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Where's that bridge? User fee?
They are not currently. They're looking at different ways to fundraise, a few different ideas. I think we mentioned last time one idea was to add to their dog license a small fee, but in discussions with others about that, well, that kind of penalizes the residents of Bellevue and not all users. Not all users of the dog park are paying that.
Okay, we go on a Lambeau field tax.
So, yes. But May 11th, this committee is going to the Bellevue Village Board meeting and presenting an idea of trying to get them to come up with some money to help assist to get the dog park going.
So they're asking us to help out with the lawn mowing and the snow removal for a regional park that's going to be used by a lot of people from the east side of Green Bay and Alloway. I say, baloney.
Well, and I wanted to bring it to the committee.
Dog in the car and go drive over there.
Yeah.
And then pay, like in De Pere, it's a donation box. I don't know how many people do it, but it's a small area and it's really not very nice. But if they have a user fee, I'd rather pay a user fee than give them.
What if you got a discount on your user fee because you're an Alloway resident?
How are they going to? I don't know how they would monitor that. They'd have to have somebody staff there.
That'd be very difficult.
Do you know off the top of your head, just an educated guess, how many dogs we have registered in the Village of Alloway?
I do not. It'd be an easy number for me to find out.
Yeah.
We could just look at the dog licenses, but
I mean, this is what I see as a problem with that maintenance fee. Let's just call it $4,000, yeah. You know, over the course of a year to maintain that.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you know, budget restrictions come down a couple of years from now, or 3-5 years from now, and things have to be cut. You know that's going to be on the top of the list mm-hmm. of the things to be cut. The next thing I see is the PR issue of Alloway refuses to maintain the park that they agreed to maintain, therefore we're closing it. You know,
sure.
There's got to be a different term.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean,
good point.
No,
yeah.
And
well, tell Bellevue that we'll rename Green Isle Park Bellevue Park if they maintain it.
With that information that I have.
I say that with tongue in cheek.
Sure, and understandable. With that information, though, with them going to the Bellevue Village Board, it's questionable if they will get this up and rolling this year anyway. Because, you know, initially at our last meeting, they thought that they would be able to, by the end of summer, have it ready to go. But it's, you know, like I said, questionable whether or not it would even be a go at this point.
One quick question
sure.
before we go any further. Do you have any idea if, based on the gift from Bellevue of the land, are they putting stipulations on the... I mean, they did with the parking lot and
right,
said you have
right.
to have a parking lot. What are these I mean, I know living in Colorado, there was a Girl Scout who built a dang dog park. I mean,
mm-hmm.
she got some kids together and put fence up, and it was a huge, beautiful dog park. Didn't have bathrooms, mm-hmm. had a port-a-john outside, and, you know, big fence, and it was right next to the highway. But it didn't cost $100,000.
Sure. To backtrack just a little bit, they did not give this group the land. It's still Bellevue Village
mm-hmm.
of Bellevue's land. They just gave them the opportunity to put a dog park on this land. So I don't know enough about what their whole planning process has been at this location to know, like you said, do they need all of the extravagant things they have in this plan to get it going? I don't know. But according to the ordinances in Bellevue, they can't put a parking lot in unless it's completely paved. They can't put a parking lot in unless it has lights. You know, so there's those things, and those are the high cost items.
Right.
The dog park itself, the fencing, that's the cheap stuff. So, you know, that's from my understanding of my discussions with, you know, some of the staff there, that's where they're, you know, hung up on right now. And
that bridge would have to be built, right? That bridge isn't currently there.
Correct. That is not there. That would be, and that's a $200,000-$300,000 item. You know, it'd be
but that
similar.
Would probably be shared, though.
Correct. That would be a shared thing with the village of Bellevue. Correct. But it would be very similar to what we have at Green Isle Park.
Yep.
That type of a bridge, right? I just wanted to bring that information back to the committee. To give you some updated info on that, you know, kind of where they're sitting.
I do feel like we have a stake in this park. I do feel like for my husband and I and our big dog and all the dogs, the people that just got a puppy behind us, I mean, this is really a great opportunity for you to have some place in a relatively unfriendly dog-unfriendly environment to have some place to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would get a lot of use
mm-hmm.
by Alloway residents.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that having some degree of a stake in it financially isn't a bad thing. But I have some real concerns with what Bellevue is asking of a small group of people to put together when they want to do something great for the community. So I'm not sure what could be done about that. If we felt that we had a stake in it, would it make sense to communicate that to the Bellevue board as non-residents? Not sure.
Sure. We will know more after May 11th, after
okay.
their board meeting. You know, I don't necessarily think this is something that we need to make decision on, you know,
tonight or even, you know, in the next couple of months.
I don't, following up on what Rob said, I don't like the idea of a long-term commitment to any services.
Sure.
Because, yeah, that can come back to bite you.
But perhaps if it were something that was shared between the two communities, if we're talking about more of a partnership between the two, this is the peace park between Alloway and Bellevue, you know? Yeah. Maybe then it could be a consideration. But having it so one-sided just seems crazy. Mm-hmm.
I agree too.
That's a pretty elaborate dog park.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all my dog cares about is just a place to run.
Yeah.
Over.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
You don't need little picnic tables or play areas.
No, frankly, I don't think you even want picnic tables in a dog park. No.
Tent something shelter, whatever the heck it says up there. Concession stand.
There's such little green space left in the whole area. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm all for a dog park, too, but to put in all those structures and all those things off of the park.
I think that's their ultimate dream. Mm-hmm. You know, I think come May 11th, you'll see a scaled-back version that indicates, well, how much is it going to cost us to fence this in?
Mm-hmm. A fence and a parking lot.
Yeah. And then they could have enough money to go.
And mow the grass that's already out there.
Yeah.
Acres of fence. Mm-hmm. So cyclone fence is going to be expensive. Mm-hmm.
They're not putting cyclone in. I think it's like the highway fence. Like with the woven wire type fence, if I recall. It wasn't cyclone.
Yeah, I remember seeing a picture of it.
He showed a picture of it, and it wasn't the cyclone chain link fence thing. Yeah. So I don't recall. So just wanted to, you know, give you an update on that and, you know, let the committee know that where they're sitting in regards to their development on that. I don't think it behooves either community to have two dog parks in such close proximity. You know, if we were to open one if they open this one, you know, I don't think that that's something that would make a whole lot of sense. As we move forward, you know, we can certainly investigate other alternatives.
And, you know, we don't necessarily need a dog park. We could have a dog area. Mm-hmm. You know, like we were just talking about this golf. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty good size area. That doesn't have to be a dog park, just a dog area where it's okay for us to
call this whole area a dog area, and then they'd have a challenge on that course. They call it the bunker.
Yeah,
it's a great idea.
The dog goes grabs the disc, picks up,
throw your own wrist.
We could have dog caddies.
I love
funny.
It.
That's funny. So
make it interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it sure would.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing we were talking about. I guess before we go on, was there any other questions or comments on that? The other thing we were talking about then was, do we as a community, as a committee here, want to look at what our current rules are? Which our current rules state no dogs are allowed in our parks, with the exception of the East River Trail and the connector trails that go to it. And that's on leash. We see people all the time that are,
you know,
not abiding by the rules.
It's like in this Alloway flyer, the last one, it talks about dogs on leashes in parks, but it doesn't say that there are certain parks you can do this.
Right.
At all.
And
so
I noticed
it's kind of misleading.
I noticed that the last time.
And
that
I've
is
seen
not
an
correct.
Increase. I've seen an increase at Webster Park.
And
I have no problem with that.
Sure.
I like dogs, and they all had bags, everyone I saw, so. But
to that point, last week Thursday, driving down East River Drive, heading this way, the park front area there between like Clover and that first house that you come up, I'm driving down, I see the dog squat, I see him poop, I see the owner of the dog down by the river, totally oblivious to it. Gave him the benefit of the doubt when I stopped, got out of my car, whistled, had him come over, I said, I'm going to assume you didn't see it because you're down by the river. And I said, your dog just relieved himself right there. I said, do you have a bag to pick it up? Yeah, I got a bag. I said, you need to pick that up. I said, kids play in this park. And I said, furthermore, he needs to be on a leash. Well, he stays right with me.
But I don't stay with him.
Yeah. But, I mean, hopefully I called the guy out because you know he wasn't going to pick that up. No. Yeah, you know he wasn't going to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, are you kidding me? You're just going to... Finally, I caught somebody. You know, and it was just like, oh, it just drives me insane.
You go down to Wheezy Park, and you walk that trail, and you see that, you know, the people that don't pick up after their dogs. That's what
the sidewalk on Libel Street.
You just
it's there too.
Yeah,
it's just like. But those are the people that aren't reading that don't care.
Everybody gets one of these. You know,
correct.
Kind of reads like.
And you're right. It does look a little misleading.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed it this last issue. And I want to make sure that the next time that it gets posted that it's updated. Because it does sound like the dogs are allowed in every park, as long as they're on a leash. No, that's not the way I wrote it to put it in there. They kind of cropped information a little bit, but...
Well, it's like anything. I think it's okay to remind even dog owners that not everybody likes dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got to rein them in.
And nobody likes dog poop.
And nobody likes that.
How are you going to, going back to this disc golf, how are you going to, are you going to get mailing out to the residents of the village? Or what do you do on something like that? How do you know that just because we say it's okay for everyone. How do you, other than that,
the only way we can do is either that or do a survey.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot spend the money to do a mailing to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I did a mailing for the, just postcards for the playground at Kiwanis Park. Mm-hmm. It's 625 postcards at 35 cents a piece.
Yeah.
That is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
To try to reach out to the whole community, that's the only way.
You know, back when we had the initial discussions on deer and turkey, we had like a listening forum.
Okay.
You know, and I think it was announced on the website. And
sure.
You know,
sure.
There weren't mailings and things gone out, but we had a handful of, you know, people mm-hmm. who showed up. You know, I think there could be an opportunity to do something like that if you can get the awareness out there that, hey, this is being considered and we want to, if you're interested, we want to hear your voice, they at least then have an option of coming. Or you could couple that with an online survey too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if we wanted to get that voice.
Sure.
I mean, to some extent, we're the forum, right?
The selection
of the cross-section of the community to make that decision. But I think in terms of that, I think looking at it again is a good next step anyway, just to have some more imagery in terms of how it would affect the park and go from there.
It's probably premature to ask opinion until we know it would be on.
And if Bellevue doesn't go with their dog park, then I'm going to have an issue with the disc golf because they already have their disc golf.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a place to bring dogs to run in the field.
Sure.
So
would that be where we would put a dog?
Don't know. I never even thought of it until I heard about until tonight about the large area. That's the first thing I thought about. What about the dogs? I mean, you already have 9 holes of disc golf, and you don't have a place to bring our dogs now.
Sure.
It's okay for you to cut the prairie grass and do this disc golf, but it's not okay for our dogs to run in the prairie grass or an area. So.
You know, we still would have to change ordinance,
mm-hmm.
you know, and update that. And
you'd probably have to fence it, because that's a multi-use area,
mm-hmm.
not just a dog area.
You definitely have to fence it.
Oh, yeah, for a dog run.
Especially with soccer games going on.
Next to the trail.
Yeah.
And if you did that, there would be no prairie.
No,
I would not
be a proponent of a dog park. They tend to be very stinky.
Correct. I was involved in the creation of the dog park in Howell. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the location of where that dog park is pretty wet.
you know, it's in lower land area. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we tried even planting prairie in a portion of that, and it was, you know, decimated because of, you know, the traffic. And, you know.
Well, it indicates to you a need, you know, a desire.
Yeah.
You know. That's a real wetland right where the Bellevue Water Park is going to go to. I mean, it's right next to
right next to wetlands.
And the trail is flooded over right now.
Right.
So it's just on the other side of there.
Yeah, it's in the higher land area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right there. So
the thing that probably concerned me the most tonight that I heard, Kelsey, when you referred to us as a doggone friendly area. I don't disagree with you, but I'm not sure that's how we want to be known as a village, is dog unfriendly. So if we were going to do any review of our ordinance, not that we'd make drastic changes, but can we look at it from a perspective of how we can at least be more dog friendly, kind of a give and take, what the village could do in a flexible way if dog owners, you know, reciprocate with some responsibility. I don't know how successful you can ever be with that, but I don't like the concept that the village of Alloway is dog unfriendly, especially because if you check your dog licenses or an unlicensed dogs.
It'd be different.
I think we have a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think we have a lot of them.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of green space. You know, we're pretty built up. And I think that was one of the points that was made when we did our survey for our rec plan, that we were, you know, we saw a lot of comments about being unfriendly.
Yeah.
Community for pet owners, which that's, you know, I guess the main reason I wanted to bring this to the committee to start discussing this. Is there anything we can do to try to make a more pet-friendly community?
And Green Isle Park, they play Pop Warner still in that little practice. They still then do soccer there,
and
too.
And soccer in the summertime, yeah.
There's not much.
And, you know, even that area down at Wheezy Park, I almost don't think that that's big enough, because if you open that up or fence it in, there's going to be an inflow of people from DePere, from Bellevue. You know, they're going to come from all over.
You're right. And also, they're going to be cutting right across the soccer field.
You know,
but that's for a specific dog run, right?
Yeah. You know,
because I don't think we need a dog run. I don't think we need a fenced-in dog park. My sense is in communities that are dog friendly, it's about opening it up to leashed dogs. And then all you have to do is spend your time telling people, pick up the poop and make sure it's on a leash. That's all the enforcement you need. You don't have to be watchdogging, not to pun it out, but watching people to make sure they're not in the right spot at all. It's, is your dog on a leash or are you picking up the poop? Not that that's easy. It's obviously not. But that's my opinion, is I've never lived in a place that had ordinances that you in an open public spot, you couldn't bring your dog across a big field, you know, that was a soccer field or is it just an open space.
Mm-hmm. That's not being used.
That's, you know, not being used, yeah. That is a park.
Right. You know, it's too bad, because a lot of times on Wheezy Park, there's only one soccer team practicing at certain times. It's like, geez, it's such a big area, and, you know, and sometimes there's a couple teams down there practicing different, well, I don't know what their schedules are, but a lot of times they go down there, it's
not a lot of use at that.
Not a lot of use.
It used to be we didn't allow practicing at Wheezy Park because we wanted to save them as game fields.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be part of the reason.
They do that right now?
That's how we had set it up.
And they've reverted the opposite way now.
Okay.
Practice there and they save Kiwanis for games.
Okay.
So they always practiced at Doty.
Right.
Okay.
So, but great discussion. You know.
Where is it go?
Well, one thing what I heard from the committee was that there is some interest in maybe potentially looking at our ordinances to see if we want to allow leashed pets in parks. I can, write some things up, some options with regards to an ordinance change, bring it back to the next committee meeting, and we can look at those and see. Is this something that, makes sense, something we can do?
Could it be rolled out as a trial? And if it's abused?
Mm-hmm. Are we talking eliminating dogs down at the trails too?
No, I think we're talking about
opening it up.
So that people can go in the parks legally with their dog on a leash.
What areas of the park?
Any areas other than a sport field and a playground.
Well, where would that be? Down at Wheezy Park, for example.
Greenow Park. The whole central part of Greenow Park is all dog, no dogs. Mm-hmm. And that
Sunset
whole space.
By the river?
Sure.
Yeah, there's parks that...
Yeah. Matter of fact, the Fox River Trail, you can walk the pet on. Uh-huh.
Sunset Park.
But walking on the parks. By our ordinance, you cannot walk at Webster Park on a sidewalk from one side of the park to get to the other with a dog.
That road going down is a park problem.
That is illegal, to walk through that park with your dog on a leash. Because no dogs are allowed in parks other than Fox Square, the East River Trail.
People do it, though. I mean, everybody does it anyway if you got to get from point A to point B. But
Well, that's... That's part of the problem with writing ordinances that are that tight.
Yes.
You know, that people are just going to break them. And it's such a tight ordinance that you're not going to enforce it.
Right.
You know, so it's like, let's write it that it is friendly. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's valid. Mm-hmm. You know, I think opening up parks to pets on leash is not a bad idea. But I think, you know, posting signs is the key. You know, that young lady that was here before said, you know, if it was posted, I would say something to them. You know, same thing with pet owners. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're out in the park and you don't have your dog on a leash, somebody's going to say something to you. You know, you will get those stragglers, but you'll tighten it up with well-posted, you know, signs. And Green Isle is well-posted.
Mm-hmm. I think people are much more prone to follow things that are spun positively. I mean, no smoking is different, but, you know, pets allowed on a leash as opposed to no pets in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as like, the licensing, we lived here for a long time before we knew that dogs had to be licensed. So, I mean, if the ordinance was...
So how much should your
I don't have a dog. But, I mean, if it was, like, licensed leash dogs allowed in the park, thank you. You know, oh, we have to get a license, and that might be positive for the owners as well.
I didn't realize that either. Mm-hmm. I still need to come and get a license for my 6-year-old dog that's been here for 6 years. So
plus
we
late
got
fee
one.
Now. You're up to like $60.
Yeah.
So. And that's a great opportunity, I think, if just having to do that in terms of education, but that being a point of time where you can say, poop, pick up the poop,
right.
Guys.
We had those ideas at the last meeting on being able to give out that information with the dog license, you know, and even a free poop bag, you know, things like that as a reminder.
I did ask a friend in Alloway about this, and he mentioned that he saw a story about an apartment complex that was actually doing DNA sampling of pets.
Oh, wow.
Poo. So, and having it on record so that any pile of poo found is also tested and matched with the dog in the complex.
That
could be a consideration.
How great is
how
that?
How expensive is that?
I don't know, but, you know.
Wow.
Just an idea.
Wow.
Thanks.
So that would make me pick it up.
Yeah, there you go.
So.
Okay.
Do a little research and a little rework and bring it back to the committee.
Yep.
That'd be great.
For next meeting. I'll bring some potential ordinance, you know, wording and things like that. We can take a look at that. And if the committee wants to, maybe we can make a recommendation to the village board if that's what we think. And in some of the comments that I've seen and listening to people, I think it would be a positive route to go. So.
Question, do we always have to meet at 6:30?
We're moving on to number 8 on the agenda.
Is it?
Yes.
There we go.
Good segue.
Are those allowed in the village?
Segways?
Let it go.
not on a trail. No motorized vehicles on trails.
Change, number eight, discussion. Change the Parks, Recreation, Forestry Committee meeting time.
Several of the other committees have, they meet at different times. I think we and the village board are the only two that meet at 6:30. A little bit selfish myself, being that I live out of town, I stay here after work. I don't, until 6:30, I don't go home. But I wanted to bring it to the committee, see if, does 6:30 work? Would you like to look at a different time?
Are we talking earlier, generally?
You know, 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock, anything like that. I don't know. I thought we'd discuss it and see what.
I recommend 5:30. 5 o'clock, usually people are, people that are working at least.
I can get here by 5:15. Yeah, 5 o'clock is a stretch. I don't know about anybody else, but earlier the better for me.
Five's okay for me, too.
5:30 would be really great for me, just because I have to pick up my kid from daycare.
Legit, 5:30. Yeah. I'm good with that.
Any thoughts?
I can try to make it work. My husband travels, so it's kind of like month to month.
Okay.
For me, but I mean, whatever it is, I'll try to make it
just
work.
Just tell me you've got to stay home on that day.
Yeah. Only.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, good. We'll start 5:30. If it, does become a little bit of an issue, then we could always be flexible.
Summertime, especially. You want to get home and still do stuff, and winter, I don't care if it's.
Yeah. Dark. Correct.
Doesn't matter if it's 5 o'clock or 8 o'clock. It's dark.
Do you anticipate we'll meet each month in the summer, Chris? I know in the past years we've been flexible.
Correct. We'll be flexible. If there's something of great importance, maybe we'll continue to meet. But otherwise, last year we took a few months off during the summer because I don't know that we would have had a quorum a couple of the months because a lot of people had vacations anyway. So, looking at June, July, and August, we'll take a look at those. And I don't think it's something that we have to make a determination on. We'll just take a look and see what's on the any agenda items, and I'll reach out to everyone, shoot an email out and say, is it people able to meet? If not, or if nothing's of great importance.
Okay. Number nine, any items that the committee wishes to have on future agendas? I think one that came up tonight was that smoking and parks ban.
Correct.
If none other, do I have a motion for adjournment?
Motion.
Motion by Dave, a second.
I second.
Second by Bonnie, all in favor.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
8 o'clock.
All right. Hey, Chris, question for you. On our cul-de-sac, we have two ugly trees.